Wednesday means it's time for Eating and Drinking with the Currents, and this morning we are very happy, as always, to welcome into the studio our good friend from Minnesota Public Radio's The Splendid Table, Lynn Rosetto-Casper. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Oh, so a few weeks ago, you mentioned the subject of milk and all these options that we have of locally organic, sustainable, pasture-raised milk, all this. And you actually kind of rhapsodized during that segment on the idea of doing a milk tasting with friends. Well, today, lo and behold, it appears we're going to do a milk tasting right here in the studio.
Yes, we are.
And this is a first, because we generally do beer tastings and wine tastings, and we don't have to hide this from anyone in the building. So this is fantastic.
No, we don't have to be, this is not secretive.
And when we fight over who's going to get the last drop of our favorite. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right.
But this is interesting, because with the local movement and the sustainable movement, one of the things that's happened is this has given dairy farmers an opportunity to kind of beat the odds, because, you know, farmers, dairy farmers and most farmers, work and produce a product, and then someone else tells them how much they're going to be paid for it. They don't set a price.
Right.
And milk prices have been down forever, and there's an excess of it. So how does a farmer survive? Well, think about the micro creamery. Most local milks are not done from, you know, huge herds. Not that that's a bad thing. It's just that people are trying to create the kind of milk they remembered when they were growing up,
right,
or the kind of milk that they feel is missing from the market. Mm-hmm. So when you go into, we have so much of this. I've picked 4 local milks just as examples. But what I've learned in doing a little research is that what determines the taste of a milk is there are so many factors. Like, for instance, obviously the cows. Are the cows let out only in the summer? Or are the cows essentially eating and out in the fields, you know, until the weather is just absolutely dastardly? Mm. One dairy, and probably others as well, their cows are out there 7 months a year. And they'll bring out the hay and whatever, but essentially they're pretty sturdy and hardy. The kind of cow, the kind of milk that's given. The other thing is, how do you process the milk? Do you pasteurize it very quickly? Because that means heating it to a particular temperature, usually somewhere, I think it's about 160, and then you drop it down to, you know, the normal temperature, and you do that for X amount of minutes to make sure that all the bad bacteria is killed. Well, I know from cheesemakers who say that the slower you pasteurize the milk, generally the more enzymes and good bacteria is intact to give the cheese a distinctive flavor. And what I've heard, at least from one of the dairymen, that's the same way it works with milk.
Okay.
And do you want it homogenized or just pasteurized? Because
right.
What homogenized is the fat molecules in the milk, you know, it's spun and broken down and treated and forced through this and that. And what happens is those fat molecules get very, very tiny, which means that you don't have the cream on the top of the milk, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't separate. Mm-hmm. But it changes how it feels in your mouth, because if you've got larger bits of fat molecules, you get more of a perception of a flavor. Fat carries flavor.
Exactly.
So this is what we've got. We've got 4 local milks. We've got the Valley.
A flight, if you will.
We have a flight of milk.
A flight of milk.
And when's the last time you saw milk in a glass bottle?
Right.
I should point that out
exactly.
as well.
I suppose, if you're going to co-ops and whatnot, you might see it fairly regularly. But if you're just, you know, heading down to Rainbow, you're not really seeing that too terribly often.
No, and right. Not everybody uses these. Some of these dairies are also using other containers. But the other thing is, it's heavy and you can break it and all of that. But the reality is, from a sustainability point of view,
you can reuse it.
Mm-hmm. You reuse it. Right. And, you know, you make a deposit and you get your money back when you go back.
Right.
Well, I've brought you guys 4 milks. They're 4 local milks. There are other local milks, but I figured we'd start here. The first one is Valley View, and Valley View comes from a farmers cooperative in Hastings. The second one is Cedar Summit Farm from New Prague, and this is the Minar family. Third one is Autumnwood Farm from Forest Lake, and this is the Danninger family. And the last one is Castle Rock, and this is from Osseo, Wisconsin, and this is the Costica family.
We're here with Lynn Rosetto-Casper on the morning show here on 89.3 The Current, and she's brought in local milks for us today to check out.
The cow you choose, it makes a big difference, because you get a different protein and fat structure. And I think each one of these milks might taste different. So let's start tasting, and I'll do some more narrating.
All right. So tell us again the first
number
one that we're going to listen to.
Number one, Valley View Farms, a farming cooperative since 1913, based in Hastings.
Here we are. We're going to try some of this. So this
is... And it's interesting because it smells like milk, but it has a sweet overtone to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It is very sweet and very creamy.
Yeah, really appealing. Silky. If we were drinking wine, we'd say yum. Okay, so by the way, this is kind of interesting that whole milk, knowing our terminology, okay, what's whole milk? Well, whole milk cannot have less than 3.25% fat in it. It has to be a minimum of that. And of course, 1% and 2% are obvious. But what is actually skim milk? Well, skim milk has to have less than 0.5% of milk.
Okay, which is what is in my fridge right now.
Yeah, which most of us. But I think that if the flavor carries through as being distinctive in a whole milk, we're probably going to taste some of that even when the fat's been removed. Okay, number two is going to be Cedar Summit Farm, and this is the cream top.
I'm a little afraid, Lynn, because mine's chunky.
And this is because the cream floats to the top of the milk, and it's so rich. You know,
it's also the darkest color of all of these. This is actually has a slight yellow or off-white kind of cast to it.
Well, you know what's really intriguing about these milks? You're going to taste the seasons.
How so?
Well, when it's winter, the cows are usually on concentrated feed and hay, and the structure, there's more protein and more fat. And this gives you a more velvety kind of flavor. And now the cows are going out on grass. They may even be eating dandelions. I was on an island in the Guernsey Islands, you know, off the coast of England. And it was the beginning of spring and there were buttercups everywhere. And the cows gave Day-Glow yellow milk.
Really?
Wow.
Yes. And so a cow eats wild onions, you're going to taste it in the milk.
In the milk,
I would imagine. Well,
so,
that is really very creamy and delightfully so,
it's
actually
so interesting. To you know,
oh yeah,
to have the cream to kind of push down on it with your tongue, it's just kind of like a little burst of flavor.
Well, when I went to open this bottle and get the cream mixed in, I pushed down on the cream, which was like solid at the top, and it splashed. I mean, we had a geyser of milk. Yeah. So if you get lumps in your milk with a cream top milk, it's not because it's going sour. It's because you got little lumps of delicious
cream. Extra goodness in it.
Mm-hmm. Some of us have been known to skim that cream.
Mm-hmm.
And reserve it for special occasions, like for themselves. Okay, number three,
okay.
Autumnwood Farm. They also do a cream top.
Yep, I see some floaters in here.
This is not quite as substantial and chunky as the previous one, but it still is pretty sweet.
Well, this is pretty. You know, this is the thing that's so surprising, is how sweet and distinctive these guys are. It's really intriguing. Now, Autumnwood Farm is Pat and Char Danninger, and I spoke to one of their dairy people. And he was explaining to me, and this is probably true of other farms as well, that they do a very slow pasteurization to try to maintain the structure of the milk and give it complexity. And when they milk the cows today, that milk will probably be in the stores tomorrow.
Wow.
And the cows are out there on grass now. And I was asking them, what are the cows that they use? You know, because there are certain breeds that are famous, like Jersey cows give very rich milk. He said, we have a mongrel. They've crossbred they've crossbred
a
for
mutt cow.
A mutt cow. They've crossbred for characterizations of different cows and strength and whatever. And their cows. Cows are out there 7 months a year. Mm. So their cows are really hardy. And cows do get winter coats just the way other animals
really?
Do. Yeah, which is kind of reassuring, I think.
All right, let's do number four.
Number four is Castle Rock. Castle Rock is in Osseo, Wisconsin. Oh, my.
That one almost, we're back to the sort of
this
creaminess.
Has a heavy cream
this
flavor.
This is definitely a thicker one, but more uniformly thick, I think.
Well, this is the Kaska family. And like everyone else, multi-generational, been, you know, working with dairy cows for several generations. And they have a variety of products. They do cheese, etc. This is the Minar family, and they do ice cream, and they do, their heavy cream is quite amazing. So you have that combination. Okay, this is your first milk tasting, right?
Yeah.
What stands out for you?
I have not had, for one thing, I haven't had whole milk in many years.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not since my mom's family's dairy farm. It's been a long time. But just the consistency.
Consistency is the first word that
I was
thinking
of. Amazing how different each of the milks are when it comes to the creaminess and consistency. Mm-hmm. That's what's sticking out in my head first.
First, that there's sort of uniformly a step above your typical consistency of whole milk, but then there's a little bit of variation from milk to milk. But overall, there's just a thickness, I would say.
A thickness. Okay.
If that's a word that we can use to describe. Uh-huh. Now
yes,
it is.
Exactly. Yeah, but what's interesting, because I usually do skim milk too. My first reaction when the first time I did this was how sweet they all are and how flour-like. They're really attractive to drink on their own. And I apologize. I was going to bring cookies as palate cleansers.
Or some chocolate cake or something.
But
sure.
And I made them myself, and then they all disappeared, and my husband had a big smile on his face.
Shame on you, hubby. Well, this really is a testament to the incredible choices that we have that are right here under our noses. And presumably, these are, I would hope, that they're not terribly difficult to find.
Kowalski's carries them. Mm-hmm. The co-ops certainly have them. These all happen to come from Mississippi Co-op and also farmers markets.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find a lot of these people have their products in farmers markets.
What is the price difference between this and your run-of-the-mill brand that you just grab at the supermarket?
I can't give you exact prices because they're all a bit different. But there is generally a premium that you pay because you've got the glass bottle, but when you return it, you get a dollar or whatever back.
Okay.
And I would say overall for these milks, you're probably paying a 20 to 40% premium
markup
above more mass-produced milks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, the decision of what you prefer. The occasional bottle of a whole milk like this could be a great treat.
But you're getting what you're paying for, when
That's
you go
right,
this way.
Yeah.
Right.
Forget the $50 wine. Serve everybody milk with straws.
With straws. Well, to be reminded again of the particular brands that we talked about here today, head on over to thecurrent.org, and we've got them listed there for you. And Lynn Rosetta Casper, as always, thank you so much for paying us a visit. Appreciate it.
Great fun. Thank you, guys.
The Splendid Table with Lynn Rosetta Casper, heard on Minnesota Public Radio News, Saturdays at 6 a.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. And in the Twin Cities, that's 91.1 KNOW. You can also check out the website online, splendidtable.org. It's 89.3 The Current.